Hi everyone, my name is Phoenix James, and nearly 4 years ago, I set out to design a stripper-style dance curriculum. And I did, and it became so much more than I ever could have hoped for. I saw my students become transformed through it, and they formed amazing bonds, not just with me and with each other, but with themselves and their art. And then about a year ago, one of my first students asked me if she could be trained in it so she could teach it one day. And that's when I decided to design not only a stripper-style dance curriculum, but a stripper-style dance curriculum to be taught exclusively by strippers, something that truly honors our experience and expertise and is ours. So if you want to learn more about Erotica, how to get certified, or if you want to check out some of its other associated projects, just check the website www.phoenixjames.org/erotica.
Welcome back to another episode of Stripped by Sia, your podcast for strippers, sex workers, and all the fancy naked people in between. I am your host, Steph Sia, aka who am I? Oh yeah, I'm Kimchi on stage. I was like, wait, which alias am I going to be speaking on today? Kimchi on stage. You can find me on stage. I think this week I should be at Shaker's Show Lounge in Vancouver, Canada. If you are around, feel free to come say hi. Feel free to come chat, get to dance with me. Chat about the show, how much you love it. Whatever you want to do, or just pay me money, I'm totally fine with that. I am a content creator. I've also been a sugar baby many moons ago. I was also a cam model very briefly, and then realized it just wasn't for me and I hated it. And I've been doing this show for, oh my gosh, almost 3 years now, nearly 3 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been like a wild ride, and it's been an amazing experience in terms of like connecting people within our industry to help destigmatize the industry, because as we all know, our industry is highly, highly stigmatized. So just bringing on different guests every single week has just been so empowering for me, but also, I don't know, I feel like I'm doing some good work. So, I mean, not to pat myself on the back, but I think it's important, important discussions to be had. If you're hearing a wonderful voice in the background, I will be revealing our guest in about a minute, but y'all have to sit tight for a second because I need to shout out all the people that are supporting on Patreon. Of course, I had monetized this show for the longest time, and then people are just like sending me random money to my PayPal, and they're like, why don't you have a Patreon? I'm like, okay, I guess I'll start one. So thank you to those people who are subscribing. There are lots of you on the lower tiers. I am going to give some fan shout outs to those on the top tier. So quick shout out to Justin Erickson. I've been supporting since day one. Thank you very much. Down in Oregon. And then we have Snoo Snoo, who I believe is from Germany. Thank you so much. And also providing so much great feedback on all these recent episodes. We have Jay Sunsern, who is local to where I am here in Canada. And Arup Sarkar, who is, again, also local here in Canada. Thank you all for subscribing and taking these sneak peeks of all like how my crazy brain works when it comes to the show, watching and commenting on the video exclusives like what you'll be seeing today, and yeah, just for sticking around. So thank you so much. If you're interested in that, it's patreon.com/strippedbysia. And I did promise everyone that I was going to reveal the guest today, which I'm like super, super stoked to talk about and like interview and just chat and shoot the shit. So I am very excited to bring on Mistress Marley onto the show this week. I am going to be listing out all of the wonderful things that this bad bitch does, because she does fucking everything.
Period.
And I am just like, what I saw, when I read about you, I was like, where do you find the time to do everything? So for those who are listening at home, just a few things in terms of, you're not really familiar with Mistress Marley or her work, but she's a dominatrix specializing in financial domination. She's a sex and kink educator. She's an activist. She's a mentor. She is the Beyonce of BDSM, which I fucking love that term. She's also the founder of so many things. So I'll mention she has a lingerie line called Pink Matrix, which is sex worker friendly, not to mention super cheap and super like affordable and amazing and just super, super amazing. She's also one of the masterminds behind Brooklyn's first Black-owned dungeon, Whips, Whips Dom Academy, the Black Dom Collective, her sex academy on Patreon, Black and Kinky. Am I missing anything?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
You got a lot of things. You've got like this amazing resume going on here, and just you do so much, and they're all intertwined and just related to sex work, and I just think it's amazing. And we're gonna try our best to dabble into a little bit of everything, because I'm just so curious and also just like wowed by you. But Mistress Marley, please say hello to the audience.
Hi, everybody. Nice to meet you, online meet you. I'm so stoked to be on the podcast today with Sia. She has such a warm spirit, and we haven't even started talking yet, and I'm already just like, it's the smile for me. It's the infectious smile, I think, that you have that's already pulling me in. So I'm just ready to talk and like get into it.
I'm stoked. I am just really excited to have you on the show today. And, you know, it's been a long time since I've had a dominatrix on the show. It's been a little bit. So we'll definitely be talking a little bit about that, touching on that. I feel like a lot of this episode, I feel like the centralized theme for this episode is going to be mentorship, just with everything that you do. And you even are like a self-proclaimed mentor to many up-and-coming doms, people within the sex work industry. So I really want to be able to highlight that, because that's just, it seems like a huge thing that's guiding your career in this industry. But gosh, like if I were to throw the mic back at you, how would you introduce yourself to the audience? And okay, some people hate this question, but like, who are you?
So I'm Mrs. Marley. I'm a pro dominatrix specializing in financial domination. I live in Brooklyn, New York. I'm also a sex and kink educator. I run Black and Kinky, Black Dom Collective. There's also Whips Dom Academy that is ran in Whips Dungeon that I just opened in March. So I just opened a dungeon. All around, I'm just someone just in this industry who really wants to make things accessible to Black doms, brown sex workers, Black and brown sex workers, people who feel like they might have been left out of the conversation. Also, just talking on mentorship. Mentorship is huge to me, because when I came in the industry a little bit around 4 years ago, I didn't have anyone to help me. Yes, I had the basics of Google and seeing like videos and stuff like that, but I didn't have anyone actually touching base with me to let me know the little things. Because I think when people first get into sex work, we just think money, social media, do some content. But there's so much little shit in the in between, like interacting with clients and all that stuff. Like there's so much. So me being able to provide that for upcoming, you know, baby doms is really enriching.
Yeah, it's so important. And like not even just talking about like doming specifically, but like even my experience as a sugar baby, many years ago, there was like no one talking about that. Like it was like very like taboo, and I had no one to talk to about this kind of stuff. So
yeah, same. I used to be a sugar baby in college. So I was a sugar baby. My first sugar daddy date was like when I was 19. So like mm-hmm. a little further background, my first ever introduction to sex work was stripping. So I stripped in college. Yes. So I stripped for about a year. And then even when I moved to New York for grad school, I did a little bit of stripping here and there. So that's what my first start to sex work was. So just like you said, like it was taboo. No one really talked about it. I didn't really learn about it until I moved here to New York. God. And I learned about it. I learned about it through working in a sex club. So there's like just there's so many things.
There's so many things. Okay, wait. Let's try to go back a bit. Like, where did this all begin for you? Or like, what was your life before? Because I know that you have like a bit of history in terms of like you had a career in fashion as well too. Where do you want to start?
So I guess we can basically start from college. So I'm originally from a small town in North Carolina called Greenville, North Carolina. Grew up with a big family, 3 brothers, 3 sisters. Both my parents were around. I was always just the kid in my town that was really weird and just like different from everybody else. Like I would always go to school wearing the crazy hairstyles, crazy shoes. So then when I went to college, I've loved fashion since I was in elementary school. So when I went to college, I majored in fashion design. And then from there, I moved to New York to do grad school. So me coming to New York was because of school. So I came here, I went to LIM College where I majored in fashion marketing. So fashion was just always my life. Like if you would have told me in my freshman year of college I would be doing this now, I'd probably laugh, but at the same time be thinking, yeah, I would do that. Because I'm big on Zodiac, so I'm an Aquarius, and we just do crazy shit. Like we just love to do it.
Air signs, I'm Libra, so I'm like,
okay. Yeah, we're like, let's just do it. So like all through grad school, I worked a ton of fashion jobs here in New York. I did like interning. I was assistant buyer at Tommy Hilfiger. Then I was a buyer at Gap. You know, I did so many different things in the corporate industry, but I was still living paycheck to paycheck very painfully.
Mm-hmm.
Like not even a way of like, oh, like I was so excited to move 9 to 5 because I used to just work retail. So I was like, oh, I'm going 9 to 5. I'm moving up. Like, but that shit does not matter in New York. Like everything is so expensive. So then I was finding side jobs and I went on Craigslist, Aquarius thing, of course. And I typed in just like jobs and clubs, and this sex club came up for like older people in the city. So I went and I like applied, had the interview and got it. And pretty much my job was to be a hostess. So make sure that everyone had like champagne. Everyone was good. Make sure no one was really breaking any like rules. And there's an older lady that worked in Coat Check. And, you know, we would have conversations on our breaks and stuff. And she was talking about how she used to be a dominatrix when she was younger.
Ah.
So, like, my knowledge of being a dom was always like 50 Shades of Grey, which is the worst example anyone could use for themselves, especially a woman trying to get into it.
Yeah.
Those are my examples of it. And then like Rihanna was my favorite artist. So I was like, oh, I know the S&M song. You know, I know that Chains and Whips excite me. Like, okay.
But, like, I love it.
Right. So like the more that I did my own research, like I would type in like dominatrix and just see images on Google, but it still wasn't really sticking. And then what happened was I Googled just like how to make money as a woman online. I knew there was webcam work and stuff like that, but I wanted to see if there's other avenues. And then that's when I saw financial domination. Uh-huh. And that's what brought me here today.
There we go. Okay. So, I mean, wow, this is a whirlwind of everything. But okay, then this is how you landed here. So, so financial domination, like what did you learn? And maybe because we haven't had an episode in this in a long time since the last season. Did you want to just quickly prime the audience? Because we have a mix of, well, sex workers, but also like a lot of vanilla people that listen to the show, the people that don't even know anything about sex work. They're using this to like educate themselves. What is financial domination?
Okay, so you have like, so you have the big umbrella of BDSM, then you have like another umbrella of kink. And then under that umbrella is all the different kinks that people are into. And one of those kinks are financial domination. And financial domination is more so on the psychological side of kinks. So it doesn't involve much physical. I mean, majority of my clients, I want to say 95% of them, I don't see in person. They're all virtual. Mm-hmm. So financial domination is basically when a submissive person gets off by handing a dominant person their money, whether it's sending them reimbursements, letting them drain their wallet, which is taking amounts of money over like a set amount of time, or whether it's just them paying your bills, paying for food, paying for gas, for Uber, whatever it might be that you need, they pay for it. And that can be them paying for it, like showing you who they are, like it's me, or just silently, anonymously sending money. So it's definitely something that people look at and say, there's no way that's real. Because when I Googled it, I said the same thing. I said, there's no way. Like, especially from someone coming in sex work, I know that money is always in the exchange for something.
Yeah.
So in financial domination, it was like, oh, they can send me money and I don't even have to send them a picture or say hello or anything. So that's pretty much what it is. It's all like psychological.
Yeah, very, very psychological. I'm glad you mentioned that too. I mean, there's a lot of mind games that come with that, power play that comes into that as well. But when you first Googled financial domination, like what came up for you and what was the appeal that kind of like hooked you in? And like, how did you go from a Google search to actually doing it and making it real?
So when I saw financial domination, the first person that came up, she does phone sex operations. She teaches it. Her name is like Amberly PSO.
Oh, so, yeah. Yeah.
So she's like, that's the first thing I saw, because she was teaching people how to do FinDom. But at the time, I'm like, I don't really have it right now to pay for like an ebook. Let me just keep trying to like go and go. And then that's when it led me to Twitter. And on Twitter, if you even type in FinDom in the search box, you'll see a whole world of financial domination. So when I, you know, searched it up and saw all these women posting about it, like posting their receipts after they've eaten, like, send me my money back. You're going to fund my life today, losers. Like the way they were talking, I was like, oh my God, there's so many people that's doing it. But one thing that stood out to me the most is I didn't really see women that look like me doing it.
Ooh, yes. I would love to pick your brain on this, because can we just talk about doming, and I'm just going to say it out loud, how white it can look?
Yes, it can look extremely white. And I think that's why in the beginning of my journey, I was a little hesitant, and I was a little like, basically pretty much like not having any hope that I would get any money or whatever. Like, I knew I was attractive, but I'm like, okay, is this an industry that really works for like people that look like me, like Black women? And I just remember seeing nothing but white women or whatever. And I was just like, where are all the Black women at? And then something told me, like, just still make your profile, do what you got to do. Don't worry about what other people are doing. But it was to the point where, like, I would reach out to, like, white doms or white women that I saw and just try to ask for advice. I would even offer to tip them, send them, like, a little something for their time. They would either ignore me, block me, or just be like, you know, you can go learn from someone else or whatever. Which no one is obligated to teach me, but for me, you know, you had some people that were just playing like, I can't teach it, which I am like, I admire the honesty. But then you just had some people that just straight up would block me and ignore me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's really no one helping like other women out there with this, you know?
That's crazy.
Yeah. So like just seeing how the industry was, like it was just always in my mind to say like, and I'm big on manifesting. I was like, I'm going to change the route of this shit.
Okay.
And I think I did that. I think I was able to do that. I was like, I'm going to change. I'm going to like bring so many Black women into this. And then that's when I got into everything else that I do.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah. I mean, you've definitely made your mark in the industry, and also just doing everything that you're doing and just like making a safe space for Black and brown women. Because I mean, even a person like myself, I'm a person of color, and just not being able to see anyone or being able to resonate with other people, like that can be really, really challenging. Like, yeah. Like, can you tell us a little bit in terms of like how you got out of that funk in terms of like, I can actually do this and I can find success into this? Cause it can be really disheartening at first.
Yeah. I think I got out of that funk because even as a little girl, I never took no for an answer. So I was just I wasn't a bad child, but I was a questioning child. I always would say, why, like, why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? Well, this is how I'm going to make it work. So like, for someone like me that never took no as an answer, I didn't see it as like, I'm not going to do it. Was I discouraged? Yes. But I was like, I'm still going to do what I have to do because I want to be that one person that makes it out, or that one person that just does what they needed to do. So I just said, fuck it. I made my profile. I started doing my content. And to me, like posting like sexy pictures and videos and little stuff like that wasn't really foreign to me, because I did stuff like that anyway. Mm-hmm. And I always felt like I had the gift of gab, especially previously being in sex work, having sugar daddies, being a stripper. So I had that knowledge or whatever. And I knew like how men, you know, act in this industry, how you're going to have some trolls, how you're going to have some rude people. Like I already knew what it was. Mm-hmm. So I just jumped in and I just said to myself, you know, eventually I was like, there's no groups for Black women that look like me. Let me make one. And then that's how I started Black Dom Sorority from there.
Oh, yes. I mean, okay. I definitely want to talk about that. I mean, I want to talk about so many things. So like with your brief stint, I don't know if it's brief, but your work as a stripper and also your sugar baby work too. How did those experiences benefit or like help you in being like a dominatrix? And also how did it differ? Because they can look a little bit different as well.
Yeah. I think it definitely helped me in language, as in getting what I want. Because, you know, as a stripper, when you're trying to sell those VIP rooms and you're trying to do like sell other rooms and do what you have to do, you use the gift of gab. not saying you're in their face trying to do like a marketing pitch or whatever, but you're being very like innocent and sweet and, you know, all giggly and just the auto persuasion in these industries, right? So like, I knew that was there. I knew that I would be able to have conversations. I knew I would be able to persuade these subs to like pay me money, do whatever they have to do. And then it also really differs because I feel like in stripping and in being a sugar baby, you're kind of like catering to the man, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like you're doing what, not doing what they want you to do, but you're doing something that benefits them. So like being a sugar baby, they're most of the time setting the dates. They're telling you where they want you to go. They have a certain look sometimes. When you're a stripper, your boss is telling you like when you can come in and work a shift, like what set times you're doing or whatever. Like, and to me, it's more tiring. Those jobs are more tiring to me. Being a sugar baby was tiring.
Yeah.
And I still have sugar daddies, but they're more so like calm and they're submissive, which works for me. Mm-hmm. But like, stripper was tiring and being a sugar baby was definitely tiring. So it definitely differs in the way of, I feel like I have more freedom over my work.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha. I mean, going back to doming as a general topic, does it always have to be aggressive? Because I've had conversations with many dominatrixes and, you know, there's different styles as well. Just for those who might be listening who have this very stereotypical view of what doming is, can you speak to that?
Yeah, so a lot of people have this you know, misconception that being a dom is all about, you know, being aggressive and get down and shut up and do what I say. But there's so many different types of personalities when it comes to doms. Like, you can be sensual, you can be bratty, you can be nurturing, you can be aggressive and sadistic. I consider myself to be centrally sadistic. So I'll whoop your ass, but I might nurture you along the way, or I might say something really sweet along the way. So it really just depends on your personality. Like, there's so many different ways you can go. I mean, there's a lot of doms that do gaming. So they dominate through like while they're gaming and on their headsets and stuff like that. I had this one friend that did like tarot card reading. So she would read their future, and their future was that they're going to send her money. Like, so it was just like, there's so many creative ways that you can be a dominatrix, and it doesn't always have to be like aggressive. And I think that's the misconception people have from movies, pop culture. Also another thing too, not all doms will be in leather and latex. There's some doms that will do stuff in lingerie, regular clothing, cosplay. Like, there's so many different types of like things that we can do. And I think now with, you know, social media blowing up BDSM and being a dominatrix, we're able to get so many different ideas from different places.
Totally. I mean, on that line too, in terms of like busting these myths and these misconceptions, from other people that I've spoken to as well, like, and I'm not sure if you have an experience with this or have an opinion on this, but with doming specifically and in the BDSM world, I've heard of instances where some, and this goes back to a conversation about hierarchy, and some people were saying that it's looked down upon if you have sex with your client or your sub and whatnot. And like, what are your thoughts on that?
It's definitely like this whole hierarchy thing, like, is definitely a lot with it. It's crazy because as sex workers, we're always banding together to get the vanilla people to accept us. But even within our own industry, we're putting stigmas on stupid shit. So like, my thing is, I always tell people sex work is work, no matter what type of work it is, whether I'm stripping, escorting, doing dom work, doing cam work, doing OnlyFans, it's all sex work. And we're all fighting for each other. We already have enough judgment from the outside, so why even bring that shit inside? Like, we really need to stick together. My work, whether I get naked or not, does not make me any less important than anybody else. It does not make me more of a whore than anybody else. It's what I decide to do in my work. Because at the end of the day, we're all providing a service. And I think some people come into dom work and, you know, I'll get the vanilla people that want to come into this work that have done no research. And it's crazy because I answered a question about this on my Instagram and someone was like, I want to do this work, but I have a husband and I don't want to get naked. And I think I just kind of went off on her. I was like, no, you need to just pretty much focus on why you want to do this work and why you think getting naked is wrong. Like, to me, you're disrespecting other sex workers by saying that, and sex workers that do get nude, you know? And for someone like me that's come from different areas of sex work, I used to strip. So I'm used to getting topless and getting naked. To now where I don't really get naked as much or naked at all, I still know that at any time, I might have to go back to that position. I don't think people realize that any time, you never know what you might have to do for survival. Yeah. So I just, people that like, that do that, especially like, it's so funny because the OnlyFans, a lot of OnlyFans girls think they're not sex workers. I'm like, you're sex worker. It's okay. Sex work, I try to tell people, sex work does not always mean penetration, but you're, sex work is selling the image of sex, sensuality, any of that nature, anything for a service. So that's my opinion on that. I can go on a whole tangent about it.
I can go on.
It angers me. Like, I've legit went off on people and like have gotten blocked by people for this, for like saying like, you need to stop thinking you're better than the next person because you don't take your clothes off.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I hate to say it, but at the end of the day, they all see us as whores. So just might as well whore it up.
Totally. I was just going to say, like, when you were saying that earlier, I was like, well, we're all whores.
Yeah, we're all whores. Like, we're all whores.
Yeah, I'm just, I mean, one last note about the hierarchy is just, it's so problematic, and that shit needs to stop. Like, and I like the fact that I see that, and like so many big, like, quote unquote stars making comments that just perpetuates that. It's just like, oh my gosh, stop. It's crazy. It's really crazy. Sorry, I had to take off on that tangent there, but back, steering back to the conversation, you mentioned that's how you started the Black Dom Collective. Can you speak to that? Like, what is that?
Black Dom Sorority was created from, like I said before, the lack of having groups of women that look like me. So it's crazy. We started off on a Facebook group, which was the worst thing to do because sex work and Facebook doesn't mix.
No.
we started off on a small Facebook group just of like women I knew that also were into it, or women that heard word of mouth. So we would just go in there. We would talk about like personal stuff. We would ask questions about being a dom. A sub is asking me for this. How do I accept payment? Just little stuff. We were kind of just all learning off of each other. So at this time I wasn't teaching because I was still learning, but I wanted to make a group. So we were kind of all just exchanging information within each other, whatever. Then November 2019, I went to my homecoming and walked a white man on a leash.
I saw that video.
I went viral. And from there, my Facebook group was getting so many requests. I think I had 1,000 requests to join, like 1,000 plus. Thought, holy shit, we need to take this off Facebook because people's, you know, most people's Facebook names are real names. I'm like, we need to have that up there. So I was like, what can I do? How can I move this? So then we moved to GroupMe, which is an app. And then from there, that's when I decided to name it Black Dom Sorority. And, you know, there was so much wealth of knowledge. I was starting to teach a little more by then. So then I started charging for the group, but it was only like $5 a month. So it was very cheap. Yeah. And I still keep that same like business model now, but it was very cheap. And we all came over to GroupMe. And then from there, we just blossomed. And I named it Black Dom Sorority. And I started making like different like regions, like Black Dom Sorority Northeast and Midwest and West Coast. Yeah, and South. So it really like expanded. So we've had a range from just like so many members. Like we've had thousands of members, and I had to scale it back because I really wanted it to be a more intimate group of the people that were serious. Because, you know, in groups like that, you always have lurkers that just want to be nosy, see what's going on. They want to get into sex work, but then they don't want to get into sex work, or, you know, whatever. So then I have to like bring it down. But that's pretty much what Black Dom Sorority was. And, you know, we've done everything from toy drives to backpack drives for kids, you know, sex workers that have children. Yeah, sex workers that have children that might be in need, and, you know, stuff like that. We've had holiday parties. So it's been a lot. It's been a lot.
That's so amazing. And just the fact that it was just like a little thing that you wanted to, you know, establish community and just like bounce ideas off of each other. I love how like organic that came and then just like grew and blew up, basically.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, I feel like we need more of those groups, and it's hard to find those groups sometimes that are publicly like they're like public knowledge or like publicly available, because as you mentioned, like, yeah, I mean, a couple Facebook groups that I'm in that are secret, like, have been taken down because of, like, trigger words or, like, stuff within the algorithm that gets picked up. And it's just, like, can be a dangerous place to be. But that's really awesome. That's super great to hear. And, like, what has, like, the – like, I guess now because you're in more of, like, a teaching role, do you still have that – that intimate kind of vibe where people are still like encouraged to share and like the people still have that sense of community, or like how is that being facilitated?
Yeah, so through my Patreon, I have a Patreon called the Sex Academy. It ranges from $5 to $100 a month, $100 being the one-on-one like mentoring with me. So within the just the regular tiers, the $5, $10 tiers, I have a Patreon where people can come in and ask their questions and stuff, because on my Patreon now I have over 700 students. So it's basically impossible for me to answer every individual question, especially of people that, you know, might can't afford the higher tiers or whatever. But to make it fair, what I do is I put the Discord chat so that way pretty much we can ask each other questions. Do you know about this? Do you know about that? That way it's not leaning so much on me as like, oh, she needs to be available all the time, because I love a work-life balance and I'm very strict on that.
Good.
Yeah, so it builds community. And also we have like a section where like we put our content, so we help each other retweet each other's content and get each other's stuff out there. So it's a little community that we've built that's pretty much close-knit.
That's awesome. And I did take a look at the Sex Academy that you have on Patreon. And like, again, like you offer so many different tiers and stuff in there. And again, a really, really low cost barrier to entry, which is awesome. And can you talk about accessibility and how, like what kind of importance that weighs upon?
So accessibility is super important, especially in sex work, because the main thing everyone needs to know in this work is safety. There's even been times where I've taught free safety classes. I'll do like a free Zoom. I did a free FinDom marketing class or whatever for people. Because my thing is, I don't want it to be something where someone couldn't keep themselves safe because they couldn't afford a class.
Right.
So I never want to be that barrier of, oh, so-and-so really could have learned this from me, but I was charging $1,000-something. Like, you know, it's insane. Like, and I've seen courses and classes where it's been like $2,000, $3,000. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like,
yeah,
you know. So, I mean, you know, get your bag, do what you got to do. But some stuff, you know, really needs to just be out there and be taught in a way. So that's why I did the Patreon, where it's $5 a month. You're learning all these things and you always have access to the courses. It's not like the courses are there and they disappear. They're always there. And Sex Academy has been up since April 2020. So I started a month after the pandemic.
Wow.
And it has over now, I want to say 150 courses and growing. So there's always something there. And accessibility in this industry is really important, because I look at somebody like me that didn't have any of this. And, you know, I had to learn. I made a lot of mistakes starting out, but I really hope that, you know, me providing this information will help someone from not making those same mistakes.
I love that. I mean, like, I think it's so important to have your programs and these resources to be accessible. But of course, like, not everything can be free. Because, like, obviously, we're putting our time, our emotional labor into this work. And even just answering questions here and there, like, that is very, like, time-consuming and also just really tiring. Because, of course, with our Twitters open, we get bombarded all the time.
Yeah.
Right. So, and then of course, just like talking about like other courses and courses that I've even seen as well, along the same lines that you're mentioning, just in the $1,000 range. I'm like, who can really afford that? And there's no guarantee that you're going to be successful after that.
Right.
It's really problematic and also like just hard to witness sometimes.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people in this industry, they're trying to, you know, paycheck to paycheck, they're trying to pay their bills, they're trying to do what they have to do, and you know, to charge that much to me is like, okay, like, wow. So
yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, on the topic about, I can't even speak right now, on the topic, jeez, it's been a long day. On the topic of like mentoring and stuff too, this is something that you obviously take a lot of pride and joy in. Can you speak in terms of like some of these courses or programs that your potential students and like up and coming baby doms and whatnot that they can take in order to learn more? Because I did see a few different buckets, but I'll let you speak about it.
Yeah, so I have the Patreon, which is the monthly courses. So it's a monthly subscription. You get access to 150 plus courses. I even do once a month Zoom open Q&A. So I'll get on Zoom for an hour and just answer any questions that people are throwing at me. I also randomly just drop classes on my Twitter. So like I did a FinDom and FemDom marketing free class. I also have an Etsy page. So my Etsy page is basically the recording of those classes. So there's some people that don't want to commit to subscription, but maybe they just want to buy one course. So I offer that for them also. It's downloadable. And then I'm opening the Whips Dom Academy at Whips Dungeon this fall in August. So that will be an in-person academy for baby doms here in New York that want to learn not only from me and my business partner, Goddess Rue, who's also my best friend, but also we're going to bring in guest instructors from all around that can teach certain things, because I don't do everything in kink. There are certain things that I don't know. I'm still learning. But instead of being irresponsible and trying to teach those things, I'd rather bring in an instructor that knows a little bit more. So we're also going to bring in other instructors. So I'm very excited for that, because it's actually like a school and I'm going to be a professor. So I'm like, ooh, I'm excited.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for you. And we have a ton of listeners in the New York City area. So feel free to peep the links, and they will be in the show notes, and I'll also promo them at the end of the show as well. So stay tuned. But talk to us about Whips and what is that? I mean, I know what that is. I Googled you and I researched you. But for those who are listening at home, what is Whips?
So me and my closest friend, Goddess Rue, decided to open Whips once we were renting out other dungeons for our sessions, and dungeons that were white owned, and we felt like we were getting microaggressions, or we felt like there was some racism there, just hearing feedback from other Black doms of what they experienced at certain dungeons. So we were like, we need to have our own space. We was like, what do we want this space to be? Not only do we want it to be a dungeon space for doms this session, but we want it to be a space overall for sex workers and people of the community. So even if you're not a dom, if you are, you know, in any line of sex work where you're meeting a client and you might need to bring them into our dungeon for that, we have safety measures in place. We have like private codes for you to use to get in. It's 24/7, so you never have to worry about it like being shut down. It's private owned, so we're good there. And then we also rent it out for like people in the kink community that might want to throw parties, workshops. If someone wants to teach a seminar and need a place, they can come there. And it's at a very affordable rate of like $80 an hour. The reason why we did that, we looked at like different spaces in New York, and a lot of places in New York are charging $300 plus an hour. Like, you know, it's insane. So we wanted to open it and just really have a space for us. And we also do other stuff there too. Like we did a content creation event for people that might need content for their sex work, but didn't know where to start. We had like photographers come, because photographers can be expensive too. We have photographers and videographers come, and we have all these different rooms in the dungeon. So it's just an overall place for us to like hang out. I throw my Black and Kinky parties there. Just a space for us, by us, you know?
Wow, that's awesome. Again, like I'm just continuing to be in awe of everything that you do, and like you just, your mission and your values, they are so clear. It's like everything for sex workers, everything for Black and brown people, health, yes, and just that, again, like being accessible. Like this is so apparent in like pretty much everything that you do. How do you stay so headstrong within all of this amidst all of your success?
I have very good people in my corner. So my family supports me. My best friends, my closest friends, they all support me. A lot of my closest friends are doms or sex workers, so they know what it is. And not only that, like I said before, a good work-life balance. Like, I love my sex worker life, but I can get very vanilla too. And I love my vanilla life of traveling and partying and restaurants and clubs and, you know, museums and stuff like that. So I try to like basically split the two in half and try not to bring them both together. You know, I try to keep them separate, only to keep my sanity, because if it all mixed together, I would never get anything done, because I mean, there's tons of people wanting for my attention every day. As soon as I pick up my phone and just log into anything, it's crazy town. Oh. So it's like, yeah. So it's just like, you know, just really just staying true to myself and, you know, telling myself why I got into this industry and why I love to make, you know, the changes that I'm making, and how I just like to make sure that, you know, people are taken care of and sex workers are looked out for, you know? So if I can make someone's day, that makes my day, you know?
Ugh, that's so freaking cool. You're so freaking cool. I mean, like going back to what you said too, and like having those boundaries, how do you go about establishing them? Especially like now it seems like you're really, it's really set in stone. I'm sure it wasn't always like that.
I think now, like like you said, when I first started out, it wasn't always like that. I had to work all hours of the night, early in the morning, reply to people. But now, like, you know, now I can relax a little bit more and have a little bit more handle on my schedule. It's just me really telling myself, like, look, if you let sex work overshadow you to the point where, like, you're overwhelmed, then you won't like it. And I never want to resent this work because I love what I do. Mm-hmm. So I never want to get to the point where I'm like, oh my God, I gotta do this today. I gotta mentor somebody today. Like, I never want to be like that. So for me, I set boundaries, I set schedules. If people are messaging me after a certain time of the night, I'll look at it and reply when I'm ready, like to the next day. I try to still keep that 9-to-5 mindset, but for me, it might be more like a 9-to-10 ish. Mm-hmm. But like, even with my clients, I set boundaries. Like, even on my booking sites, do not contact me after 11 p.m. Like, no calls, text first, because, you know, I don't need you randomly calling me just to talk my ear off. Let me know what you're calling about, what you're trying to talk about. Just even setting boundaries, like, amongst people that are always wanting to reach out and say, like, can you teach me? Can you teach me? Can you teach me? Can you teach me? I get so many messages of, can you teach me? Can you teach me? And the information is right on my page. So yeah, now it's to the point where I'm just like, if you can't read the information on my page, I don't think you're ready for my classes yet, because reading is going to be very fundamental. So just really setting those boundaries. It's like, you know, a lot of people might look at certain boundaries as, oh, she's being a bitch. But it's like, I have to protect myself and my sanity, because I'm all I have at the end of the day. And you can be here today, gone tomorrow, especially with like social media trends too. People don't care about who the human is. They care about what the person is providing for them. People don't remember, oh, when she logs off, she still has a family. She still has to eat. She still has to do things that makes herself happy. She still has her bad days. I don't think people like realize that.
No, people don't think that. And like, what we put out on social media is like only a small glimpse, and it might not even be like reality, you know?
Right.
And I think people forget that a lot, and they just see what you put out and on your exterior. And people forget the humanizing aspect that, well, one, people just forget sex workers are human, you know, and it's can be really frustrating. So I'm really like glad that you are acknowledging that you're aware of like, I need to, you know, cut this off. Cause yeah, like you and like myself as well, like it can be overwhelming to the point of burnout.
Exactly. You never want that.
Yeah. Have you been there before with all the work that you've done and are doing currently?
I think I had a burnout like at the beginning when I first started mentoring and couldn't get a handle on mentoring, still having my regular clients and still trying to live my life and do content. So I think that's when I pretty much had like a burnout. But now it's pretty much like I set my schedule. You know, I don't try to overwork myself. Pretty much just sticking true to the schedule. You have to stay to the schedule. And sometimes you have to tell yourself, like, girl, sit down, calm down. It's okay. This person can wait. Like, if you're going through something, this person can wait. You don't have to reply to them now. Like, give yourself some time. Like, you really just have to tell yourself these things.
Totally. And I forgot to mention in the beginning of the episode, if you're hearing some squeaking and stuff, Marley, she got a puppy recently. So there's, like, some toys. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
He's like, put me down.
So he's a little weak.
Yeah. Okay, I'll put you down. Put me down now.
He's like, put me down. So for those who are just listening at home and not seeing this absolutely adorable visual, subscribe on Patreon because your puppy's so cute.
So I had to get like a puppy. It was one of my vanilla things to do for myself. Because I was like, you know, I just need something that like I feel like I have to take care of. I don't know. I don't know. I love him though. I love him.
Well, he's adorable. So cute. A couple last things I want to ask you before we wrap up and move over to a couple questions that came in from your fans. I just wanted to speak like, cause you were also mentioning like, when you were first kind of starting to get a handle on like mentorship and teaching, tell us about that struggle. Cause sometimes like we don't ever hear about that side as well.
I think for me, the struggle was, are people going to believe that, like, are people, am I believable? Am I believable that I know what I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
I think my biggest struggle with mentoring has been like, did I answer that person's question to the best of my ability? Is this person going to leave my sex academy with like knowledge? you know, sometimes like you sometimes feel like you don't want to feel judged. You don't want to feel like, oh, did I answer that right? Did, like, am I doing this right? Are they going back and telling people I'm not doing it right? Like, there's so many different things that you have to like worry about within the mentoring and teaching. And also just feeling like sometimes you don't have the time that you should have, you know, like it's hard. It's like, you want to be able to help somebody 24/7, but logically you can't do that. Like, it's impossible. And then also, like, you know, when people come to you with self-doubt, sometimes you have to be a therapist as a mentor. That's the hardest part. I think that's the part that I'm like, when it first started, I was like, I didn't sign up for this. Because me personally, I'm someone that keeps my emotions in. I don't really share my emotions that much. I'm one of those people that believe in, like, if something's going on, I got it. I'm going to fix it. I don't need to ask somebody for help, whatever. I'm that type of person. So when people are coming to me sharing their emotions and like struggles within their life, I think that was the hardest part for me. I'm getting better at it now and I'm good with like talking people through it and stuff like that. But I think the hardest part for me was like, oh, wait, they're telling me their whole life story and I wasn't ready for this, you know?
So yeah, I feel like that happens a lot. I mean, just as sex workers, we are often seen as therapists, which we're not.
And not just like, and not just through mentees, like clients too. There's clients that will have a lot of stuff they're going through, you know?
That's, yeah. I was definitely referring to that because like clients for sure sometimes just tend to just trauma dump or just like lay everything out. Like, especially remember that when I was a sugar baby and like going out with all these like lawyers and stuff, and they're just like dumping all this their work shit on me. And like, I don't know what to say to this.
Like, yeah, it's boring. I just want my allowance. Like,
yeah. When's the money? When's the dinner?
Right.
One last question for you. I just want, well, with everything that is going on in your life, with everything you do with the community, what are your next steps? Like, where do you want to continue to go to or stop? That might be a thing too.
I think my next steps is to like, I want a year where I can chill, make passive like income and just travel wherever I want to go, like all year. Like, I want to make it a thing to just travel. Cause I travel now, but like, I really just want to have a year of traveling. And also just to really keep growing within my community, keep throwing these events, definitely travel more with my events. So I tend to stay on the East Coast, but definitely want to travel more to like Cali, Texas, you know, places like that, you know, just really get out there more.
Ooh. Well, again, manifest.
Yes, yes.
I have no doubt that this is going to become a reality for you very soon.
Thank you.
There are a couple questions that came in from the audience, and I feel like they can be potentially bigger questions. So why don't we go into that if that's cool? Okay. So the first one came in, from Instagram. So what are your thoughts on race play?
My thoughts on race play, unless it's me getting reparations from white men, I just don't do it.
Yeah.
There's some people, there's some clients, not even clients, because they're not even my clients. There's some people on FetLife that will approach me and say, hey, I want you to be my slave. And they're clearly a white man. You know, I want you to play my black slave. They're like into, you know, the role play with that. I just block and go. I don't even engage. I don't even do any of that. I don't even let that into my spirit. I just don't do it.
Yeah, that's a lot. That makes me feel so uneasy and so like gross.
I hate it.
Yeah. I mean, for myself as an Asian woman, I mean, we're fetishized a lot.
Definitely.
Also by white men.
Yeah.
100% of the time. Yeah. So it's really exhausting. I'm with you. I don't engage in that at all. Like, I will make a statement to try to educate them. I'll do a one-liner and like, that's it. Yeah. Move on.
I feel like in this industry, black women and Asian women, we get it the most.
Oh yeah.
You know, we get the most fetishized, the most stereotypes. We get all that stupid shit. And it's just like, okay, it's 2022. Like, I'm just going to block you. I'm not going to sit here and go back and forth.
Yeah. Get with the program. And your dog also agrees. So... the next question here, this person says, oh, I saw your video that went viral of you walking your sub on homecoming. And also, for everyone listening, like, just Google it. It's pretty fucking amazing. And then I think someone wrote like, oh my gosh, you brought her sugar daddy. Like,
oh yeah, yeah. And I was like, that's not my sugar daddy.
Yeah, you're like, girl, no. That's not what's going on here.
Right.
Sorry, what was I? Yes, so this person had seen your video that went viral of you walking your sub on homecoming. What is your take on playing out your clients' kinks in person? And it's a two-part question I forgot to mention.
Okay.
So what's your take on playing out your clients' kinks in person? A second question, what about the other people that are not consenting in that scene?
Okay, so I get that question a lot. Mm-hmm. So the first question about the subs and in-person and sessions like that, usually what they do is they'll write me what type of kinks they're into. Usually I have a list of what kinks I'm into, so it's not too far off. That sub in particular was into public humiliation, so he wanted to do public humiliation. And then usually they'll approach me with the type of kink they want. I'll either agree to it or not agree to it. Consent is always my biggest thing, so it's never something where, oh, they're paying this, so I'm going to do it just because. If I'm not comfortable doing it, I don't do it. So from there, we go about the session. Just like with that sub too, like I make sure I do aftercare. So we did aftercare. Mm-hmm. For those who don't know, aftercare is really when you like help the sub come down. You come down a little bit from the session. And as for the question about the consent thing, so I get that question a lot when it comes to public humiliation. So I made sure that I was doing it at homecoming. And not only was I doing it at homecoming, I was doing it in an area where they were having alcohol. So it was going to be 21 plus only. And then also what I make sure I do is I'm very aware of what's around me. So I make sure like there's no minors, there's no kids, right. Things of that nature. I, on my end, don't record. So the recording you saw of me was something that someone else took of me that I didn't know was being taken until I saw it. So I myself don't make it a thing to be like, I'm out here recording, look at me. Yeah. Like, because, again, those people didn't consent to being recorded. Mm-hmm. Also, there's nothing crude going on. There's no nudity. I'm not beating him in public.
Yeah.
I'm not berating him in public. I'm not doing anything inappropriate in public. So to me, in those terms of public humiliation, it's just a white guy having a leash that's walking with me.
You know, when you kind of break it down that way, it makes more sense. And also it shows me and demonstrates like how responsible you're also being, because I've also seen videos and whatever BuzzFeed of other doms on the other side of the country, you know, walking people through grocery stores and stuff like that, where, you know, minors might be there might be children in the background asking what's going on.
So I always make sure I know what events I'm going to and what places I'll be at before doing that. For instance, I did another public humiliation at a gay club, and it was a nightclub, so I knew everyone would be 21 and up. I knew there would be no minors there.
Right.
It was one of those clubs too where anything goes. Everyone was just having a good time and they loved it. So you always want to just be aware of where you're going.
Right.
I would never do it in a grocery store. I would never do it in a library. It's just like places like that to me are off limits. You know, I even don't even like to do it at parks. I don't even like to do it at parks because kids could possibly be around. Yeah. So you just, you know, mindful of those things.
Yeah, and also it just sounds like you have quite a bit of a process as well. Like when you have your offerings already, and you can either accept, not accept, you know.
Right.
And I think that's really cool, because I don't know if you have any stance on this, but like, do you believe that there is some kind of like responsibility that needs to be had and demonstrated while doing public humiliation kinks?
So I think the responsibility is making sure there's no minors around. I think there's definitely a responsibility in making sure you know what you're doing. Like, are you whipping someone out in public? Are you trying to get nude? Are you exposing yourself? You know, things that could get you in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, I always say you're already pushing the envelope with the public humiliation. You don't need to do much more beyond that. You know, certain things, I think there's nudity and stuff. There's places for that. There's BDSM clubs for that. There's sex clubs for that. There's, you know, play parties for that, but just, you know, be careful in that sense.
Right. Oh, sorry, about play parties. I forgot to ask you about Black and Kinky.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, let's go back there.
Black and Kinky is a play party series I started 3 years ago after I was working at the Swingers Club, and it was just a lot of old white people there. And I was like, how can I bring this to my demographic and make it really fun and up to date and hip? So then I started Black and Kinky, and we started out with just a small party in an Airbnb where we weren't supposed to be doing that. And then we moved on to like bigger venues and stuff of that nature. So it's something that's for Black and Afro Latino single men, single women, couples, however you identify. If you're single, if you're a couple, you can come. Excuse me. And my best friend is my assistant on that. So my best friend from college, he's awesome. My assistant with that. And we have different themes. We've had a pajama jam. Well, we're having a pajama jam in July. Right. We've had Halloween parties. We had Spanksgiving for Thanksgiving last year. We've had Zodiac Edition where people had to wear certain wristbands based on their Zodiac sign.
Cute.
We've had like 70s parties. And then we've also done something in like a literal castle in the mountains, and we're going back again this September. So we've done
The one you're mentioning. Oh my gosh. That yes. sounds like so much fun. Cool. Yeah. So lots of things to look forward to. I mean, now is the right time to kind of plug everything. I'm sure people are dying to ask, where can we find you? What about these parties? What about all of the things that you do? Plug it all.
Yes. So, well, social media deletes me a lot, so I go back and forth a lot with that. But you can find me on Instagram at Marlee, but it's M-A-R-L-E-E, Mistress. So Marlee Mistress. On Twitter, where all the fun stuff is that I can't put on Instagram, it's Eyes, E-Y-E-S, X, on, O-N, fire. So Eyes, X, on fire. You can find me there. It's patreon.com/sexcademy, so S-E-X-C-A-D-E. E-N-Y. Also from my Marlee Mistress page on Instagram, I have all my links to my lingerie line, Pink Matrix. I also have Black and Kinky up there. And I also have the tag for Whips Dungeon. So really, if you go on any of those sites and click the link in my bio, you'll find everything that I'm doing, everything that's going on. Black and Kinky has a castle retreat coming up in September. So if you want more information about that, you can follow the Black and Kinky page. And that's pretty much all the craziness I have going on right now.
Pretty much all the craziness. You have a lot of craziness going on.
Yes, a lot.
But, you know, it's all good stuff. And, like, I'm just so, so happy that I got a chance to speak with you today, to have this amazing conversation on mentorship and just all of the freaking crazy, awesome things that you do. Again, as mentioned earlier, all the crazy things that you do for the community. It's just truly admirable. So thank you so much for coming on the show today. For everyone else at home or walking your dog or something, wherever you're listening to the show, it's Stripped by Sia on all podcast platforms. If you are listening on Spotify, feel free to follow the show and rate 5 stars if you like it. If you're listening on Apple, a review and 5-star rating would also help. But of course, I hope that's legit. Like, don't just do it because I'm telling you to, although that'd be great. But like, yeah, I would love your honesty and your feedback on that. New episodes every single Sunday. It is Stripped by Sia on Twitter, on Instagram, and Patreon as well. And we'll catch everyone in for another episode next week. Thank you, Mr. Smarley.
Thank you.
You're listening to Stripped by Sia, hosted, produced, and edited by Steph Sia, music by Ted D, graphic design by Maria Bellendorama, and photography by Ian Dabrin.